Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Health is Wealth with Dr. Susan Jewell, where experts and celebrities give you insights on how to improve the quality of your health.
Well, welcome everybody to another show, and welcome to the clinic and Health is Wealth with Dr. Susan Jewell. I'm Dr. Susan Jewell, your host, and we have another wonderful show today. And just before I introduce the guests, the topic is about food addiction. And with the recent passing of the bill from the Obama administration, talking about trying to address childhood obesity and childhood, the epidemic of diabetes type 2 now diagnosed in children, it really is, a disease of the Western world. And I wanted to talk about food as well because, you know, food, you can, if you are knowledgeable about food and empowered about food and what it can do to help benefit your body and your health, you know, then you can live a really optimum, you know, healthy life. But there are a lot of people in the Western society that really don't espouse not being educated about food and what type of food to eat and how to eat. And also in the Western society, it's also about addictions. There are lots of addictions, but addiction is a set of behavior, you know, that we find not only in, you know, taking medicine, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, you know, even sex addiction. There's also addiction in food. And today's guests belong to a group of anonymous people, and they will not, the names that I use are not the real names because they are called the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, the FA group. And I would like to introduce them to the show now so that they can talk a little bit about what the group is about and what they try to do to empower others who might be going through the same problems and the challenges, and really what is their platform. So I want to bring on one of the ladies, and like I said, it's an anonymous group, so they don't use their real names. But I think we do have either Carol, Diane, or Lori. So who do we have online?
Hello, this is Carol, and I'm Diane.
Hello, Carol.
I'm Diane.
So we have Diane and Carol online. So why don't one of you actually tell the listeners what is the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous group, the FA group? What is your platform, and why is the organization formed?
Well, Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous is a program of recovery from a food addiction, and it is based on the same program as Alcoholics Anonymous. And it uses the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We use the big book from Alcoholics Anonymous and other readings. It's a program that's devised to help people to put down their drug, which in this case is food, flour, sugar, quantities. When people have learned the behavior of using food, to either celebrate or to deal with difficulties in their life. It's a program with a lot of support. There's individual support for each member. They have a sponsor who helps them and directs them each day and what to eat. There is a food plan for each individual, which is based on no flour, no sugar, and certain disciplines, meetings.
Now, that's interesting. First of all, let's try to define food addiction. What is the typical profile of a person that would be diagnosed? And I don't know if that is a medical diagnosis, a food addict? What's the profile of a food addict?
Well, a food addict is a person who uses food to to just the way an alcoholic does and becomes addicted to it. It's, you know, we might use food because it makes us feel better when we're sad, when we're angry, when we're fearful. And then it becomes a habit to do that when you're uncomfortable, fear, doubt, insecurity. And then it progresses to become an addiction. It might start as
So, because this group, and then correct me if I'm wrong, please. It's the Recovery Anonymous group. So, the, people who, like you said, Alcoholics Anonymous, are people who become part of the group because they went through the challenges and they went through the food addiction, and they're trying to find ways to overcome and stay. I guess, you know, with alcoholics, sobriety, so they stay in recovery. Is that very much the same model?
Yes, we obtain abstinence from certain foods, which are drugs, flour, sugar mainly. And, yes, and then so it's a program where we learn to live without the drug. The 12 steps help guide us. You know, understanding that we're powerless over an addiction, which is food for us, and that we need help. And that's the first step. I need to know, you know, it's like I tried everything before I got here. I did not know anything about addiction. I thought I just liked to eat. I liked to cook. I liked to feed people. I just loved food. But it went beyond that where it was making me sick. It was making me sick, and I didn't have the power to stop. In spite of trying every kind of doctor and pill and everything new that came on the market, diet clubs, everything worked for a little while. Went on a diet, but diets don't work. Because you go
Let
on
me
a
ask
diet,
you.
You go off.
Right. Well, let me ask, is it Diane or Carol?
Diane.
Who's on? Diane. Let me ask
Carol's
Diane.
On right now. I'm Carol, and I've been talking to you, but Diane is here.
Okay. Well, thanks, Carol. You know, it's very interesting. I think there's a lot of people that really don't ever heard of the term food addiction and, food addicts, especially the group that you form, and having very much the same model as the AA Alcoholics Anonymous. Tell me, Dan, how does first of all, how is the one aware that they're actually a food addict, number one? And number two, when they're aware of it, what are the mechanisms or the tools or the support mechanism that one can go to get help?
Well, for me, I'll tell you when I knew I was a food addict is when I was asked to surrender some of the foods that I was eating.
That's interesting. Now, when you say surrender, that's an interesting way to put it. Can you sort of expand on surrender the food? I mean, what type of food and surrender, and what do you mean in this context, surrender the food?
Well, when I... the first meetings that I went to, I heard people get up in front of the room sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and they were saying that they weren't eating flour and sugar. I was baffled. I thought to myself, what do you eat if you don't eat flour and sugar? Because that's all I ate. And I couldn't imagine my life without flour and sugar. And it's been over 20 years since I've had flour and sugar in my body, and it's been the best years of my whole entire life. Would I have ever thought that would be possible? Never, never. No, I couldn't even imagine it for one day.
Was that because it was an integral part of your upbringing, a part of your culture, your family life, and that's that type of food that you're eating? It was a lot of, habitual eating, you know, and what your family, when you're growing up as a child and the people with your environment that you socialize in or a part of, they had that type of a diet or those types of food that was very integral part of your eating habits. Is that why it was very hard? Mm-hmm.
So my most common reaction to life was to eat. You know, that's what I did. Whether I felt good, whether I felt sad, whether I felt mad, no matter how I felt, that was my reaction to life.
So when you were in this cycle of addiction and you were aware of it, how challenging and what did you do to try to break the addiction cycle? I mean, when, of course, we're talking about food now. So what was your first initial step to try to break that vicious addiction cycle?
That's the funny part about it. I didn't know I was a food addict. I didn't realize there was such a thing. I just thought that I loved to eat. I knew that I loved to eat, but I never thought of it as an addiction. I personally am an alcoholic and a drug addict as well. I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew I was a drug addict, but I didn't know that I was a food addict until I walked through the doors of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, and I heard people sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and I realized that I, too, was a food addict.
Mm-hmm. And when you realized that, you went out to get, now I want to talk specifically about the medical profession themselves. How do they treat food addicts? Do they recognize that as a diagnosis, and what's the support mechanism? I mean, do they just give you drugs? I mean, what was your personal experience with the medical profession when you went to seek help?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. When I went to seek help, I was given a sheet, of foods to eat. I was handed out a diet, and I was handed pills. That didn't work. It worked for a little while, but what happened to me was I was 43 when I came into this program. I'm 80 years old today. And thank you. But I was very sick. My pressure was high. I was getting gout attacks. I had very, very high cholesterol. It was like 300. Mm-hmm. And nothing helped. Nothing helped. Whatever they gave me worked for a little bit. And then when I put a bite back in my mouth, I ate everything in sight like a crazy woman. And I would gain whatever I lost, I would gain it right back. Today, my health is, I'm 80 years old. Everything, I'm in perfect health. I have no, and I'll tell you something very interesting. I used to get gout attacks even when I was taking a pill to prevent them, and they were terrible. Mm-hmm. From the moment I came into program and started to eat the way we eat here, I have never had another gout attack in all those years. Yeah. And so, we eat such a wonderful way of eating.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever read anything that says you want to live 10 years longer, we eat it. That's how we eat. We eat all good, nutritious food 3 times a day. And we have a lot of help and support. And as Diane said, it's unbelievable, but I never would have believed that the craving for food could go away.
Yeah.
I don't crave flour and sugar. You can put anything in front of me, and I would never, and no matter what happens in my life, good or bad, it never occurs to me that eating something would fix it.
Mm.
I
except because
of
you overcue, a part of addiction is habitual behavior and a pattern of repeated behaviors, right?
Right.
And so it's all about, first of all, empowering yourself by, first of all, you have to be aware that you have the problem, right? And then you can find the tools to empower yourself, and then that's a start to breaking the cycle of any addiction, and of course we're talking about food addiction in this particular point in time. How has the medical profession been supportive with food addicts? Do they put you straight on medication, drugs, or do they also give you a whole management plan to be able to address? And that means, psychological support, social services, food education. What was your encounter with the medical profession in helping overcome your addiction?
I find that medical profession did nothing for me because I don't think that it was even thought of, those years back, that food was an addiction. But I think that today many doctors are sending people to FA because it is an addiction, and addiction, there is no treatment for addiction as far as I'm concerned other than a 12-step program. And the result of that is I have a life that I never believed, I could never have asked for it. It's number one, it's with a lot of support and meetings that we go to, and be able to get the hope of seeing people who've walked before you, who've had the same problem, and they no longer have that problem as long as they do what they need to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of hope here. I don't think that there is. I know there are many people here who have, tried psychiatry or all kinds of plans, and it's never worked. It works temporarily, mm-hmm. but recovery, there's one thing about, there's relief and then there's recovery. So we come in, and at first we get relief, but as we continue to do it and to pass this program mm-hmm. on, and there's a big part of this program, it's a spiritual program. And so we learn to, to let go of fear and doubt and insecurity, to rely on a higher power, and mm-hmm. to find that kind of peace and serenity, acceptance, number one, that I have a disease. This is a disease. And it kills. Mm-hmm. Food addiction kills.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
I think any addiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it does.
Yeah.
It robs you of your health. It robs you mm-hmm. of your well-being. It robs you of your peace of mind. It's a terrible place to be. I felt that I had lost control of myself with the food,
mm-hmm.
and then I just began to feel like my life was getting out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
today, there's order in my life.
And I can sense the calmness in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That sense of a center. Centeredness of one's being, I think for the listeners out there too, and for those who really, we always assume that people know what the 12 steps are. What are you able to talk about just very briefly and some general, overview of what are the 12 steps?
Well, the 12 steps are number one, admitting that we're powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. And number two is coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It is not a religious program. And when we speak of God, we speak of God, the God of your understanding, which could be anything. It could be the sun, the moon, the wind, or the God of your understanding if you do have a religion. But we don't bring religion into the program. And so coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves, and for me in the beginning it was to believe that a group of people together could do something that I could not do for myself. That's grown and expanded. And the third step is that we make a decision. We make a decision to get better. We make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. And step four is we take a personal inventory that with the help of God and other people, we sit down and we write and take a look and get really honest with ourselves. What is our problem? And then five is that we take that inventory and we have a sponsor, and we sit down with that sponsor and we have a discussion and we talk about it. And then we become willing to let go of our character defects, the things that have caused us to feel bad about ourselves and or to hurt other people. And and we become willing to let go. And 7 says that we humbly ask God to remove our character defects. And 8 is we make a list of people we've harmed and become mm-hmm. willing to make amends to them. And 9, we make direct amends. And so, therefore, you know, we mend many relationships and family and friends. And then come the maintenance steps, which is a 10th step, which we continue to take a personal inventory daily by ourselves and with God. And 11 is we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry this message to, we practice the principles of this, these 12 steps in all our affairs
mm-hmm.
and carry the message to other food addicts.
So,
that
do you know some... so it was very clear, 12 steps, and you said it in a very succinct and I think and even people who've never heard of 12 steps, because we'll assume that people understand what 12 steps are, right? We just say 12 steps and just assume, but you'd be surprised, a lot of people really don't know what you're referring mm-hmm. to the 12 steps. They literally think
well,
the 12 steps are walking.
Right.
So
no,
I thank you for doing that. You know,
but it's a practice of certain principles. It's a practice
mm-hmm.
of certain principles, and we're given
mm-hmm.
certain tools, you know, that help us in our daily living, you know, that says,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute, easy does it, you know, but do it,
mm-hmm.
easy does it, you know, calm down. Addicts are usually mm-hmm. people that are, you know, their heads are racing all the time. Your body is here, but, you know, your head is 10 feet ahead of you all the time. So
yes.
it's learning how to slow down and to think and to ask for
yes.
help. Many of us would never ask for help. We have a lot of pride.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's very much in the Western culture, right? It's the pride
mm-hmm.
and the ego and all that. And
right.
you know, and I think, you know, just as a whole, this, you know, people don't really incorporate it. You know, I had Dr. Matt Meltzer on my show the other day, and he's a pioneer of, you know, preventive and integrative medicine as well as clinical nutrition. And he really, you know, sends the message out of, you know, always try to maintain optimum health. You know, be healthy. Don't wait till you're sick and then realize, you know, I have to be healthy now. It's usually too late, you know. So it's all about food, the food you eat, the type of food you eat, what you put in your body is what you become, right?
Uh-huh.
And we all know that. So if you're going to eat, you know, bad food, then you're going to have the consequences of that. And it's a very simple analogy. It's the analogy of the car being
uh-huh.
The human body. You've got to take care of the car. If you overrun it, overuse it, you abuse it, then you're going to lose it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be very hard. It's the same with your health. So going back to your group, the FA, the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, you have a website which people can actually find out more information. If you go to www.foodaddicts.org, then you can find out more about what this organization or this group do and what their platform is and find support, right? And people have to join as a member on your website.
All they have to do is come to a meeting. There is no joining. There is no
mm-hmm.
contracts. There are no fees. It's a free
mm-hmm.
program, and you're given a lot of help and support all along the way. It's one thing is you don't do
mm-hmm.
this alone. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like we all know what would really be healthy and what we would like to do, but how many
yes.
can really do that? But with the
yes.
help and support of a group and of people who've gone before you, you know, it becomes
yes.
a natural way of life. And I can only
mm-hmm.
say that this program, I am so grateful because it's performed a miracle in my life. I'm an entirely different person.
Me too.
So let's, congratulations. I mean, it's food is such an integral part of our society, you know. But there's all this advertising and media of selling bad, junky food. It's really, and then, you know, with the childhood obesity and the diabetes and cancer, it's really a scary picture, you know, that just sums
there
up.
Is.
But let me ask you, if somebody, a listener now listening to the show right now, and they want to find a support group, what do they do next?
They go on the website. They go on the website and they will see a list of where the meetings are. And this is an international organization. We've grown, we're in England and Germany and Canada, Australia, Hawaii, and I'm sure there are many more. And also that people, even if they're in a state where FA is not there, they still can be helped because if they call, they can get... we do long-distance sponsoring. There are some people that there are no meetings there yet. There might only be one or two people, and they can get a sponsor who will speak to them every day and to help them and guide them.
Well, so that's initial steps to take. If you're a listener out there, we should really, first of all, just go to the website, www.foodaddicts.com. org, and I think that's the door to walk through first, and you'll find all the supportive mechanism there and direction where to go to move to the next stage. Tell me also now about you say it's an international group. How are you all connected? Are you all like individual independent group, or are you connected through like sisterhood or brotherhood, you know, the FA group?
Well, different areas have intergroups that, you know, they're under the umbrella of an intergroup.
And then there's the World Service Office that we're all under, and that World Service Office is in Massachusetts.
Let me ask you the anonymity of the group. What's just for, you know, listeners who are curious, the anonymity and, you know, just being very, I guess it's colloquial from, just, you know, just not really identify yourself. For what reason and why do you think that's important to have that as part of the image of the group?
Well, people come from all walks of life and... you know, they share intimate facts about their life, and you know, so what I've been taught is, you know, you carry the message, leave the
forget the messenger.
Yeah, forget the messenger. Carry the message, forget the messenger. You know, what you hear here stays here. You know, it's within these walls and. You know, we're there to help each other. We don't want to hurt each other in any way, you know.
And at the public level, we must stay anonymous because nobody represents FA as a whole.
Right.
No one person represents FA.
Oh, so there's not like a leader per se.
No.
Everybody is on equal level. And
there's
no hierarchy of ranking, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
No. Title and position.
Right.
So it's very democratic.
Yes.
Everybody has an equal say in how it functions and what works and what doesn't work. What is the number of people? Do you have any stats just for people out there, you know, never heard of this condition of food addicts? What are some of the, you know, up-to-date latest statistics on the number of people you think have been diagnosed, if there is a medical diagnosis, per se?
Well,
for
I don't know.
Addicts.
I can tell you how many members we have, and that is over 4,000. I think it was 4,400 this last census they took. And
now, is that on a national scale or just on your local area?
No, that's a national scale, but it has it's been growing at a rate of 20% a year.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you only including a certain subpopulation age group, or is it across the board from children to, you know,
the
older?
That's
across the
board.
So, interesting to know is what is the percentage of those diagnosed with food addiction are children or the pediatric population?
We don't have a lot of children, but we have had, little children at 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the majority of the people are mature people.
Adults. You know, this is such a fascinating subject, food addiction and any form of addiction, really. So prevalent in our society, and it's so important to really address it, and then to find groups like yourself to be able to help people, give support and give direction. So what I'm going to do is have a quick break, and then we'll come back. I really like to talk more about the type of food, the way you cook, and what really has changed, or what significant modifications did you do in the kind of food, and where do you shop, and things like that. I think that's really getting to the little details, the real details that people can relate to and would help people. So let's take a very quick little break, and then we'll come back and talk more about food addiction with the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous FA group.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back to the show, The Clinic with Dr. Susan Jewell. I'm your host, Dr. Jewell. And today we're talking about a really important topic, and that is food addiction and any form of addiction in our society, which is so prevalent, especially in the Western developed countries. But in particular, Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous FA is a group of individuals connected through food addiction, compulsion, and obsession. And we'd like to introduce some of the wonderful ladies who've been through the challenges of gone through food addiction and how they overcome it. And I'm talking about the group and how it can help others who might be going through the same challenges and problems and want to find direction and support. So we have Diane and Carol, listeners who just want us to know that these aren't their real names, because it is the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, so they really stay, keep very, and the anonymity of their real identity is kept, in the dark. So I want to welcome back Diane and Carol. Are you back online with me on the show, Diane and Carol?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, welcome back. Like I said at the beginning, the show really goes by really fast, and we've got like 10 minutes left, but in this last 10 minutes, I really like to really get down to the real detail for people can relate to is in terms of the food itself, and the food you eat, where do you shop, what modifications did you incorporate into your life once you realized that you had food, you are food addicts, but you're in recovery now, to stay, quote unquote, sober. Not that sober is the right word for alcohol, sorry, abstinence is the key word. What did you do physically and in action to change that? So let's start with the food. What would you consider bad food, and what do you eat now that you consider good food?
Well, I don't eat flour or sugar, and I weigh and measure my food, and I eat 3 times a day. And
okay, so... Once you don't eat flour and sugar, why you pick those two categories of those type of food to eliminate from your diet altogether?
because they set up an uncontrollable craving. If I eat flour and sugar, it just makes me crave more. Like I said earlier, I could not imagine my life without flour and sugar. And now I can't imagine my life with it, because I know, now I know what it did to me. Now I can clearly see.
So what do you actually, so like, let's go through a normal day in terms of your meal planning and the food you eat in each meal. So for example, a typical breakfast, what would you eat?
I'd eat yogurt, cereal, and a fruit.
Mm-hmm. And so well,
you have to know that basically we eat the same kinds of food, but that everybody, first you come to a meeting, and you get a sponsor, and that sponsor gives you a food plan. So everybody's food plan is, there's not like there's one food plan here for everybody. We all eat the same types of food, but we don't eat flour and sugar, and we weigh and measure our food. But you speak to a sponsor every day and commit to food.
So it's not like you go out to these commercial weight loss programs and you enroll. It's not like that at all. So tell the viewers that the real difference between a commercialized weight loss program out there that, you know, on the market that, you know, I won't name the names, but, and then your program.
Because we eat all fresh food. If you ever saw, you know, when we're eating around other people, they look at it and open their eyes. They would like to eat what we're eating. Everything that I eat is delicious. It's delicious. It's fresh. It's not filled with chemicals. We eat all kinds of fresh meat, fish, chicken, beef, pork. We eat dairy. We eat fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and you know, and soy
grains.
Products and grains. And so it's a very well, you know, in fact, this food plan has been taken to doctors, you know, by patients who have been diabetic, and the doctor says excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent, just the way
absolutely.
It is. And people who've come to this program who have had type 2 diabetes in a very short time, no longer have it, and their blood sugar is normal.
Right. Well, we know that coming in from a clinical aspect, that diabetes type 2 really is, you know, if you can modify your lifestyle in terms of, you know, eating healthier, dieting, exercising, there is a possibility to reverse the type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And nutrition is an important component of that particular disease. But So in terms of where you shop, it's basic common sense, really, isn't it?
Let's
go to organic food stores, go to Whole Foods stores, go to your farmer's market, local produce, no, you know, chemicals, pesticides. I mean, just being very cognizant of what you eat and the type where you shop, right, for your food.
Well, I shop in the regular supermarket, and I don't buy organic food. I buy the fresh fruit and vegetables.
So even then, you don't need to really have to spend a lot of money out of
an
expense.
No.
Yeah,
buy what's on
sale.
I'll tell you, it's a lot cheaper eating healthy than it is buying all that packaged stuff.
Absolutely.
With all the chemicals and preservatives.
Now, tell us what is the real sort of end goals of the FA? Do you have educational programs that you put out? You know, I don't like ever using this word, have to, but how do you sort of like market yourself or brand yourself so that you're out there for people to know you're there to help them?
Mainly we try to do food, we do like health fairs when we're invited and have a table at colleges or at that kind of thing. We try to get the word to doctors and send them information so that they will refer their patients.
to FA. So we do get people who come in through their doctors or even their psychologists.
Right. Well, that is so important to have your message out there, and one has to, you know, find a mechanism to you know, say, well, here I am, and which is what we offer, and we want to help you, and this can, you know. So we actually, you know, we're a group of clinicians here, too, you know, besides, that's why it's called a clinic. We do have a clinic, and part of the clinic model that I am, you know, part of is that we like to educate people and empower people through using all the modern, you know, media platforms and as well as traditional TV and so on and so forth, you know, and of course here's the Blog Talk Radio, because what is good about this particular platform is that I'm able to get your message out to the world, you know, to maybe somebody who maybe realize they have food addiction and they could be living in, you know, Bora Bora up in Southeast Asia, right? Because, so that's what I feel is important, is to get your message out there and, you know, how you're going to get your message out there. I think what I would like to do is, we have 4 minutes left. Carol and Diane, maybe each of you separately, spend a minute or so and tell the viewers and listeners, you know, what FA has done for you and what you would like to, through your own experience, how you want to help others. And let's start with Carol first.
Okay. Before I came into program, I was depressed. I was obese. I weighed 115 pounds more than I weigh today. Today I'm normal weight and I'm healthy. I eat healthy. But more than that, I have peace of mind. I'm not always, you know, I'm not always fighting with myself in my own head, fighting, not wanting to eat, not wanting to be fat, doing it over and over again and hating myself. Mm-hmm. And today I have such total freedom from the food. I wouldn't have known to ask for this because I wouldn't have believed it was possible. I weighed probably 245 pounds when I came in. I'm 5'6". I weigh 130 pounds, which is perfect weight for me. I'm 80 years old. I walk straight.
Wow.
I have beautiful skin. I have, you know, from all the wonderful food that I eat. And I exercise, I go to the gym, and, you know, it's like I don't look 80 years old.
Well, let me tell you that you don't even sound it. You have so much vitality and energy in your voice. And your voice, Anna, it's like I'm very much into also, you know.
Oh, I don't hate myself
in energy and chakra.
Yes, I have energy, and I don't hate myself, and I have wonderful relationships. I have absolutely wonderful relationships in my life, not only in this fellowship, but my family.
And those are indicators of a healthy person, you know, when it's a whole person. So thank you so much for sharing your personal journey and your insight and trying to help others through coming on the show, talking about FA and the wonderful work that you do. Now let's also get...
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to get the word out. If only one person hears, you know, the message and gets better, then it's certainly worth it. So thank you so much.
Well, this is what I use this platform for, but like I said, I also have other platforms where I try to educate people because there's multiple ways that you can bring your message out to help others. I mean, ultimately, that's really what my mission is. You know, not only am I, you know, a clinician to help people with disease, but I like to empower people with knowledge so they can become more proactive in participating in their own management of the disease. And that you can only do that if you have knowledge. So that's what I do. And I'm very, you know, I'm very honored to have you on and to have your courageous stories. And I really admire what you ladies have done and where you're at and helping others. And I would love to, you know more about FA myself, but the viewers, if you want to find out more, please call, go up to, online to their website, www.foodaddicts.org, and that's the place to start. So Carol and Diane, I would love to bring you back on board and for another show and continue with this and also to, you know, just to follow up and see where we are. And I would love to even talk to you more about the food addicts, Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, and see how we clinicians and the medical health professionals can help, you know, take your message out there to the communities. So thank you so much for joining my show, The Clinic with Dr. Susan Jewell. And I would like to say to the listeners as well, thank you for joining me. Please join me again in another show. And I would wish you, by the way, it's Chinese New Year for the month of February. So I'm Chinese. I want to say Kung Hei Fat Choi. Live up, be prosperous, be healthy and harmonious. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And join me again on The Clinic with Dr. Susan Jewell, and especially Carol and Diane from the Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, FA Group. Thank you, everybody. Speak
thank
to you soon.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Health is Wealth with Dr. Susan Jewell. Join me again for more insights on how to improve the quality of your health.